Well, the Royal Commission to Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion continues its focus on universities today. Several Jewish students and academics have given evidence already about incidents of violence, harassment and anti-Semitic behaviours they've experienced on Australian campuses. Jewish professor Stephen Prawer recounted an incident in 2024 when masked protesters took over his office. He says he was targeted because of his partnership with Hebrew University.
I don't know what their intentions were, but when a Jewish person with some experience of what happens in Israel sees a masked person, you can only see their eyes. The rest of them are covered with a keffiyeh. This was only 1 year after the atrocities in Israel, and so I was very perturbed. I had no idea at that stage if it was a protest, if it was a terrorist attack.
That's Jewish professor Stephen Prawer speaking at the Royal Commission yesterday. Bill Shorten is the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Canberra and joins me now. Bill Shorten, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
What's your reaction been to some of this evidence from students and also from an academic about incidents of anti-Semitism on Australian campuses?
I think it's shocking. It describes an Australia and a university, Australian universities that I don't recognise. But the fact is that these voices who are speaking up through the vehicle of the Royal Commission are revealing things which mean that there's no excuse to ignore them. There wasn't at the time, but so I feel very upset for Professor Prawer and for the other witnesses. They've had to cope with things on their own, which no one should cope with, regardless of where you work.
What does the current situation mean for those who may be protesting, those who are pro-Palestinian or other points of view who may wish to protest on campuses?
There's nothing wrong with protesting. One doesn't always want to refer to one's own experience, but I've been on strikes and marches and protests. But once people are putting coverings over their faces so they can't be identified, once they're going to people's individual offices, they've crossed a line. This is not a protest anymore. It's just bullying. It's thuggery. It's cowardice. It's intimidation. And I don't really care how righteous you think your cause is. You've got no right in this country to make someone else's life so scary, so miserable, so fearful, just because you happen to have a view. Protest, yes, you are allowed to have conflicting views. Academic freedom is a really, bedrock sort of proposition of universities. But there's no academic freedom which says you can behave like a bully and a thug. What happened to that man and what's happened to, we're having people having all these big existential arguments about, well, anti-Semitism mean you can't, a definition of anti-Semitism mean you can't criticise the government of Israel. Of course you can criticise the government of Israel. Israelis criticise the government of Israel. But there's no academic freedom which says you can behave like a thug and a bully to someone else.
Are encampments an appropriate part of protests, whether it's people protesting about the situation in the Middle East or if protesters wanted to have an encampment about Indigenous issues in Australia?
Yeah, well, whether or not someone throws up a tent in a public park
on campus, one thing.
But on universities, they're not, if I can put it really directly, they're not caravan parks. They're not... I think two things about those protests at universities. One is if you're not a student or a staff member at that university, you don't really have the right to go and obstruct everyone else at the university. Secondly, they're not caravan parks. You don't have a right to just sling your tent and start making everyone else who goes to that university feel unwelcome and uncomfortable. Again, it's not about your right to have a view or to exercise your right to express your political identity or values. But you don't have an unfettered right to the point that you make Australians of Jewish heritage feel unsafe to leave the house.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Canberra, Bill Shorten. On a separate issue, debates around multiculturalism have intensified in recent months after Pauline Hanson, One Nation leader, called for a monoculture in Australia. Do you think this debate is influencing experiences of racism in Australia?
Well, let's go to the general principle here. I'm not going to particularly tag a particular party, but let's go to the general principle. I detect a, I've read this expression somewhere, but I'll apply it here, a sort of creeping cultural dementia across Australian political discourse where we're forgetting some of the basic memory of what makes this country such a special place. Like, you know, attacking people because of their Jewish heritage, that's never been part of our, I think, the country we want to be. And on the right, saying that we should go to zero immigration, it forgets how we got here. Like, again, to be really straight talking, I could understand why perhaps some Aboriginal Australians might say, well, immigration hasn't been a success. But you know what? The other 97% of us, we all came from somewhere else. If you go to hospital today anywhere in Australia, you're going to be grateful for immigration, because if we took immigration out of our health system, you'd have no one to turn the lights on. So it's okay to have a view, but we've got to stop this sort of rush to extremism, which extinguishes the our own country's history, which is a successful story of bringing things in. So, you know, I think, and this is where universities have a role to play, we've got to be encouraging diversity of speech, diversity of analysis. We've got to be encouraging critical thinking. But when I see people proposing very simplistic solutions and trying to put everything into a binary of the person I disagree with is the enemy, that intolerance, I think, is a form of political dementia where we're just shutting down our ability to think.
On the NDIS, Australians with Disabilities are awaiting the result of a Senate inquiry into proposed cuts to the national disability insurance schemes. Many in the disabled community have been distressed by proposed cuts. You're a former NDIS minister. What do you make of the way the government is handling this process?
Well, I think there's two things that have to be borne in mind here. One is the scheme is doing great things. It is far more successful than unsuccessful. It's changing lives of literally hundreds of thousands of people and their families for the better. It can't keep growing at double-digit growth. In the first term, we're able to get the growth down from, which we inherited from the Liberals, from 22% down to around 10%. So the government does have to, in order to make sure the scheme keeps doing good things, make sure it's not growing too fast. So that's one thing. But the other thing is, it is important on all of us, not just politicians, but in the media and people in public life generally, that when we talk about changes to the NDIS, remember that the mum who's got three kids with a diagnosis of autism who are on the scheme, someone who's got a family member with a early onset dementia or neurological condition, when they hear changes, they don't hear the word changes and reform. They hear, my God, I'm about to lose something which I fought hard for. So I think it's important in our language that we keep reminding that people with disability are not a burden. They're not a cost blowout. They're not an accounting entry. People with disability want to see the shonks out. They want to see the scheme not grow unsustainably. They're not stupid. But I think it is important in the discourse that any change is measured against is in the best interests of the people on the scheme. So I think it's an important scheme which needs to be sustainable. So that's where the government's going right. But the language needs to be, always remember that there's vulnerable people at the end of this radio show and everyone else. And the way you talk about people with disability is crucial.
Bill Shorten, we'll need to leave it there. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks. Lovely to chat. Cheers.
Bill-